kissfm.com.au. Dance Music Australia.
Back with you on the beautiful drive, Kiss FM, and Dr. Michelle is with me. Hello.
Hello, Timmy. How are you?
I'm very good. Of course, you're from Water Temple, Melbourne's finest flotation premises.
Well, thank you very much.
And we're very privileged to have some of the pioneers in the floating industry on the phone with us today, referring to Glenn Perry, who was the gentleman who basically invented the tank, and Shoshana, who has also worked with Glenn and was one of the pioneers to take floating to the world. And we spoke to Sho a few weeks back, and she's organised this chat with Glenn and the new book that Glenn wrote called Floating in Quiet Darkness. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
You're staying up very late tonight, so we really appreciate you being a bit of a night owl, but I heard that you had a float just before we started.
I did.
So do you float very often, Glenn? How often?
Generally, I float most every day. Occasionally, there will be short periods where I am unable to, but I love to float every day.
Joe, did you want to give us a quick background on Glenn and your connection with him?
Yeah, well, Glenn is is a part of my family. He's married to my mother, and he's one of the most incredible people I know on the planet. And yes, he did create the industry by being first to manufacture and first to start float centers. And he's incredibly creative and a genius, and I want to turn it over and ask Glenn so you can all hear why he wrote Float in Quiet Darkness, and who is it for, Glenn?
It's for several different types of people. We give some tips on how to use the tank, so it's for floaters. It's also for people who are thinking about opening a center or who have opened a center and hints about operating a center, and for those people who want to know something about the background, the history, we include that as well.
It's a fascinating read, in particular about the start of the book with John, who was the pioneer of discovering the ability
sensory deprivation.
Yes, we don't use that term nowadays. I do sensory deprivation.
Isolation.
But tell us a bit about Glenn. Glenn, about John, who was the man you were inspired by.
He spent his life investigating consciousness. As soon as he could read, he was reading the philosophers. He had a rather large brain. I think he should go down in history as somebody like Galileo or Einstein or something like that.
Mm.
He is the only person who has ever attempted to communicate, find and communicate with aliens.
Well, with dolphins as well.
Yes, and he was a diver, wasn't he?
Yes.
Which was part of the process of him working out the benefits of floating. And you were immediately inspired by him and drawn to him, and then took on the huge task of trying to design a tank that would meet the requirements. Do you want to tell us about, or briefly, about, you know, the process of finally working out the perfect tank?
Yes. First, I wanted to say that the reason I actually got involved in floating, why I tried the tank that he had, was that I was incredibly shy and bashful and insecure, and I was a systems computer programmer, and I read his book, Center of the Cyclone, and I was so impressed by it that I, a few weeks later, when I saw an ad for a 5-day workshop he was giving, I had to go. and I floated in the tank, the first one in of our group that were in the Roark shop, and he asked me after I came out to share my experience, and I was comfortable doing that. And I thought if something could make me comfortable talking to people, it must be really incredible. And right then I decided I had to have my own, but they weren't making them. So nobody was making them, not even he. He just was doing research. He was researching consciousness. So I started investigating how to minimize distractions, which is why he invented the isolation tank. And he was very buoyant, and so he used basically fresh water or sea salt, and he suggested I could use 3% salt when I floated, and I didn't float near as well as he did, so I moved it up so that I could float without touching bottom, and so that it turned into a float tank as well as an isolation tank. But all of the things are to minimize distractions. That's what creates the incredible thing, how you can get into an altered state. And one of the things he said was, it is my firm belief that experiencing higher states of consciousness is necessary for survival of the human species. He said that in 1971, and back then people weren't so concerned about the state of the world as they are now.
And he's so right, if you ask me, as far as his observations. You obviously went through various different materials to try and make it the right chamber to float in. You looked at what to actually float in, and you were the first one, I believe, that introduced the magnesium sulfate.
Yes, yeah, because as I said, I didn't float very well, so I added a lot more, and some people feel that the sea salt is a little bit abrasive to the skin, so
or itchy
or dehydrating.
Yes.
And then you settled on the Samadhi tank as the name. Do you want to explain the name Samadhi?
It's a state where the meditator becomes one with the object of meditation.
Mm-hmm. And where does that word come from?
It's a Sanskrit word.
And would you change anything looking back now, Glenn, at as far as how I think you opened a huge center in Beverly Hills, which was extremely popular, but then you lost that. I mean, are there any regrets or things you wish you'd realized earlier about floating?
Well, one thing is I just recently started floating, doing a situation where I will float for 5 days for twice as long as I used to be floating. I used to typically float an hour, and so now I will do a 5-day program where I float twice as long. I actually, when I feel like getting out, I say, can I stay a little longer? And I usually can. And so I do that 3 times, and then the 4th time I get out.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that instead of being present, being in an altered state, by the end of the hour, by doing it every day in a row, I get into that state a little earlier every day, and then I'm in it for a whole hour or more in the tank, and then it lasts longer when I get out. And being present is an altered state, and it allows me to be more creative. It allows me to, if I become interested in something, it often shows up right away in my life. I mean, my life is absolutely magical. I'm so blessed.
So you're talking about a manifestation sort of effect?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, you know, whether you feel that there's more creativity in you when you're outside of the tank, because I certainly find that even though I think about things when I'm floating, when I come out, there's so much clarity, and the synergy between the thought and writing it down or being in clinic is much more in flow.
Totally, Michelle. Hmm. Totally. I am so much more creative outside the tank now than I used to be inside the tank, and I still go, if I want to be the most creative, I still use it to be creative inside, even to this day. But now, when I'm working on problems, it seems like they just drop into my head. It's like I don't feel I'm responsible for them. I feel that I'm being given them.
Do you also find that when you're sort of processing things, the hemispheres of the brain almost work more synergistically with each other? There's not a battle between that creativity or the analytical, that they're more, because you're taking so much of the other stress out of the system, that they almost work more jointly, if you can say that, with the right and left hemispheres.
Succinctly.
Yeah, that's a better word. Thank you. Succinctly.
Yes, I do. I think the right side focuses on the physical, and the left side focuses on the quality of energy. And they're coherent or together now,
yeah,
whereas they weren't before.
I sort of find that zero gravity is really the only opportunity for the whole body brain to have that experience, because you're not putting, you know, when you don't have to deal with gravity, it's such a game changer on so many levels, for not just the physical benefits, but also for the brain to start compartmentalizing and filing and processing.
Well, like what Glenn said, the more you float, even if you can't get in the tank, well, when you do get back into the tank, you start where you left off. And then when you're not in the tank, you can basically invoke that same sensibility or sensation when you're not in the tank, so it can help actually deal with problems outside of the tank.
Glenn, one thing I've sort of pondered, I guess is the word, having learnt about floating and so forth, is, and I think you'd appreciate being a person who has designed tanks and so forth, but if we could get a sort of situation where we could get rid of the swimming pools, the spas, but all the houses had a floating tank that could be, you know, economical to have and easy to maintain, that would be the ultimate as far as helping human consciousness, I think, and more people being able to, you know, float whenever they want. You're obviously got a floating chamber at your house, so you're lucky. But for a lot of people, you know, you've got to travel there and all that sort of stuff. But the benefits, I think, if you had your own, would be immense.
Well, I think when we were in China, Sho and I, when we met over there, there are a lot of tanks associated with hospitals. Mm. And so it's much more accessible. And if we can, where a lot more float tanks in Australia are going under the NDIS or registered with the NDIS. So we're trying to make
Glenn
it more available.
Early on, a home tank, and it was very inexpensive, and hopefully in the future at some point we can do that again.
Yeah.
And people floating, if everybody was floating, everybody would feel a lot lighter.
And we'd probably have a lot less problems in the world, I think.
Well, you'd also, I mean, like, you're more at ease in your body because there's a lot of pressure that's removed, so you're more comfortable in your body too.
Well, thank you for talking with us, Glenn. The book's called Floating in Quiet Darkness, and you've written that book. And Shoshana, thank you for organising so we could have a chat to Glenn.
Absolutely. And we're Michelle and I are very fortunate to have been invited to participate in Float in Quiet Darkness. So thank you very much, Glenn.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you both. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Dr. Michelle, as always.
Thanks, Timmy.